though. He's like me. He probably found some crazy fad diet, like eating only Subway sandwiches. And, you know, as soon as he realizes, oh, damn, I haven't had French fries in 6 months.
Here's the diet. Okay, you eat nothing but corn muffins.
Oh, that would clean you right out, wouldn't it? That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd do that this summer. I'm going to eat nothing but corn on the cob.
Oh, dude, not only will you lose weight, but your poop will be like
– It'll
studded.
It'll look like a corn cob.
It'll be corn studded.
It would be like a cob. I could eat it all over again.
And it'll be hidey-ho. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Banned Facts Are Meaningless podcast.
Banned by who? The Church of Scientology?
Oh, it's not banned by anybody, but I heard that it's much more popular when you put banned in it. So
that's true.
I'm just trying to raise our traffic.
I think of us as a band on the run. You know what? Recently, somebody, a friend of mine, was dissing Paul McCartney. Actually, I know a lot of people who diss Paul McCartney and the Beatles. Why is that? Am I wrong? Am I like mired in the past to still admire the music and playing of the Beatles and Paul McCartney and Wings and, you know, Flowers in the Dirt, all that kind of stuff? Am I a fool?
I'm not a fan, but I don't have any, like, you know, I wasn't aware of any cultural hatred toward Paul McCartney.
You know what
the way
is?
There is of, say, Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, it seems it's like musicians. Like my one friend who is like in a band, like, you know, will say that the Beatles were not good musicians. They played very messily. However, they were great writers, and that's basically, you know, what saved them. As opposed to, like, I guess maybe like a Clapton who was a great player, or is a great player, I guess. I don't know. It's like everybody's watching these bands that I'd never heard of before, Arcade Fire, Sanford and Son, or Mumford and Son, whatever they are, you know, the Avett Brothers. It's like these are all what the cool new kids are listening to, and me, I'm still stuck wishing Stephen Page had never been kicked out of Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know anything.
Well, if he didn't get kicked out of that band, then why he never would have been able to found Google?
I think you are referring to the wrong Stephen.
Oh.
It's entirely possible. However, if they were the same Steven, that would be so fucking cool. That would be awesome.
That would put If I Had $1 million in a whole new light. Well, actually, that's a pathetically small number.
If I had several billion dollars, I would.
Hey, we never introduced ourselves, or I should say I never introduced us.
Nice way to do the intro. Good job.
My name is Joe.
My name
and this is HR Puffin Stuff.
Do do do. What did HR Puffin Stuff sound like? What was his voice? I don't recall. All I remember.
Well, do 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 just works for everything.
Do 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 do. Oh, that was a typewriter on Sesame Street, I think, or Electric Company. I remember Witchy Poo better than I remember any other voice. Oh, and the flute. That's who I remember. The talking magic flute. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Hey Johnny, why don't you put me in your back pocket and run away? It was like that.
That sounds like Mr. Hankey.
Probably. Actually, the golden flute actually did kind of resemble a metal turd. So you are almost dead on there. I heard that there's another Sid and Marty Krofft property being made into a movie even after the disaster of Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell. Can you guess which Sid and Marty Krofft property? Do you know the Sid and Marty Krofft properties, Joseph? Come on. Name at least three. I can name two.
Name at least three?
Come on, name three. And if you get the
Didn't they do like puppets?
Well, they did puppets, but it was mainly people like in full body suits. But they did more than that. There was all sorts of crazy stuff.
I'm sure I know them, but I don't know them as Sid and Marty Krofft.
Really? All right. Well, HR Puffin Stuff is one, and Land of the Lost is another. Okay.
Okay.
How about the Bugaloosh? You ever see those?
Rings a vague bell.
Okay. Lost Saucer? No? With Ruth Buzzy and what's-his-face who played Gomer Pyle? Gomer Pyle, he had a ray. Jim Neighbors. He had a ray that came out of his elbow, and they used it in every episode to save the day at the very last minute.
I know Jim Nabors and I know Ruth Buzzy, but I don't know anything about a saucer unless it's filled with their delicious macaroni and cheese.
Picture Ruth Buzzy and Jim Nabors wrapped in tinfoil playing robots on a spaceship, and they kidnap two people from Earth and they go and have wacky adventures in space. You don't get better TV than that.
Do I have to picture that?
You will. I'm going to find you a video. In fact, when I post this episode, I'm going to post a video of Lost Saucer, and hopefully I can find the theme song, because I always like the theme song. Okay, here's the one that is being made into a movie supposedly right now. You ready for this? And I know you're going to remember this.
Yes.
Lidsville.
Lidsville?
Lidsville. Where the adventures of a boy who falls through a magic hat into a land where everybody is a hat.
I'm sorry. I know nothing of this.
You did not live a life as a child in the 70s. What were you doing on Saturday morning? Were you, like, playing with other
children? I was watching television.
Well, you were watching the wrong channel. You were watching Skaters over on CBS, where Lidsville, I think, was on ABC, where everybody was high as a fucking kite because were like handing out the lewds. That show is the craziest crap you've ever seen. And it starred Charles Nelson Reilly in bright green makeup.
Really?
As like a magician who wanted to destroy all the lids in Lidsville.
Well, anything with Charles Nelson Reilly can't be all bad.
Like, ha ha, I'm going to get those lids. Ha ha. That was a
Have you ever seen?
That's a horrible imitation of Charles Australia. I'm really sorry I did that.
That wasn't too far off the mark. Have you ever seen Alec Baldwin do him on Saturday Night Live?
No.
On one of his like 50,000 hosting. I don't know. I'm sure you could Hulu it. It was excellent.
Yeah. All right, I gotta find that. But yeah, so that's what they're gonna remake into a major motion picture in an attempt to make millions of dollars. Lidsville.
Wow. I was watching television as a kid in the 70s, so I'm just kind of amazed that I've never – it's one thing to have not watched it, but to never even have heard of it. I mean, is that like a big cultural touchstone for people like us?
It should – I think it should be. I mean, I remember not just watching it. I remember playing Lidsville. Like I used to watch a lot of cartoons at my grandparents' house, which was on a farm. They only had three channels. It was the three major networks, so I could get all the good cartoons. And I watched Lidsville, and I remember being out in my grandfather's garage and taking a bunch of old tires that he had and piling them up so that they looked like the giant magic hat. And then I would jump inside the tires and pretend I had fallen into Lidsville, except I was really inside a tube of really smelly old rubber, and I think I might have got stuck.
Oh, you know, I was just about to say that somewhere somebody's listening to this and is Googling what the name of the three major networks are. but then you said smelly rubbery tube, and I just
– And then they started Googling that.
And nothing else doesn't matter anymore.
Smelly rubber tube. Yeah, that kind of – that's been a theme in my whole life from childhood to adulthood. It's not a good thing.
Just one of the many in the series of tubes that you've been exposed to in your life.
It's a series of rubber tubes.
I was unaware of this. If it's true, it's fairly scandalous. But so apparently Facebook has algorithms now that kind of curate your newsfeed so that you would assume that if you add me to your friends list or vice versa, that the consequence of that is that we each see each other's news feeds.
Yes.
Well, apparently that's not the case. Apparently it's where they're basically deciding based on who you communicate with more frequently or what have you that
that you know, person that you're not shows up.
Right.
Yeah, and actually that's nothing new. See, well, that's one of these amazing things about Facebook. It's almost like the old day of, you know, where you'd get an email with some urban legend, you know, about something, and then you think you debunked it or you told somebody to go to Snopes and actually read once in a while, and then 7 or 8 months later it comes back in your email from some other obscure relative who, like, has just joined the internet for the first time or so it seems. This is the kind of thing that has happened with this thing on Facebook. I remember this from a year ago or, you know, whatever, people saying, hey, how come not everybody shows up in my news feed? And part of it is because you have two feeds on Facebook when you go into it. You know, you have a top news, which it defaults to. Top news is always going to be just the people you interact with the most. Then most recent is going to be like what you would call the overall news feed, which supposedly would show you everybody. But guess what? Most recent still doesn't show you everybody. It's going to show you more, but it still has never shown you everybody, because it would be an astronomical amount of stuff to read. So you're right. Facebook does do that. It does minimize the amount of people you might see, but it always has. It's not a new thing. You can go into the settings and say, show me everybody. And I've done that, and it makes it unwieldy and horrible. It's like really the ultimate way to get around on Facebook is to create lists. You make a list of, say, all the people you went to high school with, and you can just lump them together. And if you really want to read all that, you can. Or make a list of just the people who you think are interesting friends, as opposed to the people who you friended because you had to, because it's a socially awkward thing to not friend them in theory. You know, that's the real secret, is use the list. Just like in Twitter, you can follow 1,000 people in Twitter, but if you make a list of like the 50 people who actually say anything worthwhile, and you only look at that list, you still look like you're following everybody else, and they want to pay attention to you, in theory, but you're only paying attention to the people who matter.
So it's always been this way?
As far as I know, it's been this way at least for a year, and it's probably always been this way. So I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. You know, it's one of those things that, all right, yeah, are you getting blocked from reading something from that person that you knew in the third grade who never posts anything anyway, and every once in a while they say, I had an egg for breakfast. Yeah, you might not see that particular one because you've never interacted with that person at all. But I guarantee you, if it's somebody who you leave comments for or they leave comments for you, you're going to see them pretty much 95% of the time. I have talked to my friends who said, oh, didn't you see my Facebook post about when the tree fell on my house? And I'd be like, no. Holy crap, how did I get that? Hey, look, there's a tree on your house. You know, that kind of thing. And it does happen, so it's not a perfect algorithm by any stretch of the imagination. But if you use the lists, you're gonna number one, also see only status updates. You're not going to see, like, oh, Kimberly just made friends with Jennifer, you know? And they might not be people that you would, you know, even care if they were ever friends or whatever. It's all a never-ending game with Facebook to make sure you're making more friends and everybody else is making more friends. And that's why they have this constant pop-up that says, Eric, more friends are waiting. You can put in your email address and we'll search your Google Gmail address book to find more friends for you. Like, yeah, I really want to do that.
See, I mean, mind you, I don't care whether they do it or not, because I just don't care. But because
you don't read any of them and
right.
Like having friends. I remember.
But it just seems like another example of how Facebook subverts the intent of how people would want to use it. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if you go and decide, I'm going to organize people this way into this, you know, create lists, like you said, to kind of segment people that you know well versus people that you just like keep in touch with or just want to be like, you know, involved or informed of certain things. But I think a lot of people will kind of use this to keep advised of what's going on with people that they just don't know that well, you know, like
sure.
And this kind of subverts that entire thing. And obviously the seems to me like the rationale behind this, you can say, oh, it's so that you don't have to read through so much crap and, you know, minimize clutter. But I think it's so that they can make sure that you interact with – I mean, it's like so they can mine the people that you talk to the most for those ads.
Oh, it is. I mean, you're definitely 100% right. I don't want to like defend the richest company in the world and with the CEO might be the one of the larger douchebags in the world. I mean, you know, if you believe the movie, but the setting is there to change it, you know, in their defense. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. You go all the way to the bottom of your Facebook page, it says edit options, and the top thing says show posts from all your friends or friends and pages you interact with most. You know, you can change that anytime you want. Was that always there? I don't know. That might be relatively new, but, you know, I'm looking at a list of, like, I've got, like, 50 people and pages on Facebook just blocked that I don't – that I stay friends with or fans with or whatever, but I don't want to hear from them because I think they're inane. You know?
Isn't that – but isn't – what's the point then?
The point is it's like real life, Joseph. You have to stay friendly with people you don't necessarily like because it's called being a human being.
But if you have no interaction, then what's the point? I mean, it's literally a pointless exercise.
Because
they're on your friends list, but you don't see anything they do or have any contact. So why have them there?
Yes, it's pointless decorum. It's you showing up at a meeting and somebody saying later, hey, you know, we should hang out sometime. You go, yeah, we really should.
That's contact and that's effort. This is not even that.
No, you're right.
This is like going somewhere and like signing the book that you were there, but nobody saw you and nobody spoke to you.
Yes, you're right. However, I'm trying to make you understand. I don't even know why I'm even trying, because you're right. It's just like you're totally right. I could unfriend all these people, and it would not hurt them or me at all. That's very true. Or would it? Or that's the thing. Or would it? Like I did. Okay, I was friended by somebody like after my high school reunion a couple years ago. She started posting the most horrible stuff. It was just depressing all the time. Her life was just sad. Okay? Not sad in a way like I have cancer or anything, you know, that was really sad. It was just like everybody hates me. I wish my friends were here. Like whatever, you know?
Who posts that stuff?
Somebody who's chronically depressed. You know? Which is what I think she was. So back then you couldn't block people. I unfriended her. Then a couple months later, she realized it. She saw that we were no longer friends. And mind you, this is just some girl I went to high school with. I wasn't friends with her in high school, you know. But because this is how some people, you know, latch on to, a semblance of friendship, she tried to friend me again. And I didn't. I wouldn't do it. I ignored it. And then I, got rid of the invite. And I still feel kind of guilty about that because now I could be friends with her and she could feel like I'm paying, you know, listening. Like, because when people – here's the thing. As a writer, you want to write things that people are going to read. If you're writing stuff and you're just hiding it so no one will ever see it, what the fuck is the point? I mean, maybe it's cathartic for you, but that doesn't make you a writer. That makes you a chronicler of your own bullshit.
Yeah, like J.D. Salinger.
Yeah. I mean, that was a very interesting thing in the New York Times when they had a new Salinger biography come out that said literally, Salinger spent one-third of his life trying desperately to be seen and two-thirds of it hiding from everyone, you know? And I mean, okay, that's odd and weird, but I mean, a lot of people spend their entire life trying to get noticed and seen. And to a large extent, Facebook, for some of these people, that's all they've got. And to throw them a little bit of a bone by being their friend so they think you're there, number one, listening to their status updates, that's fine. But they still have the option to actually get in touch with you directly, which you can't if you're not friended with somebody on Facebook. I can't send a direct message to that person I unfriended. She can't send a direct message to me. To be honest, I'm okay with that. Right. However, what if there was an emergency? What if I was the only person in the world she could turn to, even though she hadn't talked to me in real life face-to-face in 23 years? It's a ridiculous thing for me to worry about, but I still, as enough of a social creature, I guess, can understand it. Hmm. And maybe that makes me a monster. I don't know. I really don't. But I, you know, that's what I want you to think about. You know, do you think there's anybody out there who you didn't friend on Facebook who maybe, like, it hurt their feelings? Huh? Huh?
Who I didn't friend?
Yeah.
And
like, do you ever, like, get a friend request and say, fuck no, click, gone?
I've done that once or twice, but
not just because it's somebody you don't know, but like literally somebody you recognize from your past. Maybe you haven't talked to them in 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, but did you not friend somebody like that? Because
no.
Now I wouldn't. I would friend anybody like that, and then if I don't think they're interesting, I'd block them.
I don't think I've ever declined a friendship. I've definitely declined join this dumbass group, you know, or
yeah,
you know, I've done that a lot. But as far as actual friends, no. And then, but also, I, you know, every time I log in, which isn't that often, I get the same thing that you just talked about. Oh, not even scanning my address book or anything like that, but just like a list, like looks like a chessboard of people that I know, you know, mm-hmm. that I've worked with or that, you know, but I've never added them, you know.
Yeah. And I wouldn't do that, you know, most of the time. I mean, like, yeah, I'm looking at a cross section right now of people that it thinks I should be friends with. One out of every 10 is somebody whose name I actually recognize, but I still don't feel strongly enough to friend them because I don't think I've ever had a real conversation with them. Whereas I have friends on Facebook who are people who I've met once and then – or and like there's in one case, there's a person I follow on Facebook who I never met. She just sent me an email out of the blue because she noticed that I was from Hornell and her ex-husband was from Hornell. And she lives in Ithaca now. She thought that was interesting and made some jokes about it, and I made jokes about it. And we started following each other, and she's a funny person to follow on Facebook for, you know, that's it. You know, it's just that simple. There's a couple of, you know, you can actually meet people through a social network. It doesn't have to just be a way to remain friends with people who you're not actually friends with anymore. Hmm. I mean, it's not a perfect system by any stretch. But then again, you know what? Neither is going out and actually meeting real people. In fact, I would argue that sucks a lot worse in many ways.
Yeah,
you're especially if you
right.
don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't think I maybe we should just spend the entire time talking about what a fucking tool Charlie Sheen has turned out to
be. Oh, that is definitely on the agenda. Okay. Holy shit.
Yeah, talk about a career implosion going on in public as we speak.
Did you happen to – I mean, notwithstanding the interviews he gave last week on the radio to his BFF guy there, but mm-hmm. did you happen to see what he did on the Today Show this morning?
No, I didn't even know he made it on to it.
Oh, my God.
Really? Did he go
– OMG, dude.
Was it as bad as a Tom Cruise is in love with Katie Holmes kind of thing on Oprah?
First of all, it was way worse than that.
Nice.
First of all, it was in two parts, and they're like 15 minutes altogether, and I highly recommend you watch every minute of it because it is uproariously fucking funny.
Really?
Okay, I'm going to just – let me just try to think of some choice quotes. Okay, he wants $3 million an episode now because of what he's been put through. He's special. He's special, and people with normal brains can't process him.
Wow.
That's a quote. And what else? Let's see. There was other stuff too. Oh, and he a couple of times during this interview, he would like punctuate his statements at the end with winning.
Now, did he go into how magic and or fire come out of his hands? Apparently that was a big thing on the radio interviews I read.
Oh, my God.
Lots of things come out of Charlie's hands.
I guess I can't process him because there's so many idiotic things he said in this interview that they're not all jumping to mind. And I just watched it again so I would remember them.
Ugh.
And I've already forgotten them.
That's great. I mean, it's too bad because it's taking down other people with him. But then again, how sorry do you feel for, you know, Chuck Lorre and CBS? I mean, they've got other things to do. Chuck Lorre's always going to have good shows to do. CBS is always going to have Murder, She Wrote reruns, you know.
I was the first thought that came to mind was that John Cryer is going to really live up to his name.
And, you know, then the other thing was is that that show had outlived its usefulness. The Half Man was already, like, you know, easily one and a half men by now. I've seen the kid. He's not tiny, not a small boy.
I have to betray, once again, my cultural ignorance by telling you that I've never watched the show.
Oh, I've only ever seen one episode of Two and a Half Men. I'm proud to say.
Because I was surprised to hear that, A, it's the highest rated sitcom on TV, and B, Charlie Sheen was the highest paid actor on TV?
Yes. That is how it works in the real world, which we have managed to escape from by expanding our horizons to include such newfangled things as DVRs and time shifting and downloading from the interwebs. The majority of people still want to watch something that's so dumb that they don't ever have to think about. They don't can sit down in their chair and just never even put a thought in their head.
Is it that kind of show? I mean, I know nothing about the show.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, you do watch The Big Bang Theory, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Chuck Lorre is the same guy. He created both those shows.
Right.
I think you could take everything smart about The Big Bang Theory and inversely dumb it to the Two and a Half Men.
So Two and a Half Men is Wheel of Fortune to Big Bang's Jeopardy?
Yes. That's a very good analogy. So, yeah. So Charlie Sheen, career implosion in progress, or could he possibly sue and then own CBS within a year? I'm guessing no.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens, because on one hand, he's a complete and total douche. On the other hand, if they were if it is the highest rated show and they were paying him that much, obviously the show is a cash cow. So it's hard for me to think that they're not going to find some type of accommodation. So,
is it entirely likely that the army of lawyers at CBS would countersue his dumbass for all sorts of breach of contract? Because we know, you know, Chuck Lorre and those guys have all tried to get him help.
Right.
They have, you know, done the right thing by him. Just because he thinks that he doesn't need help doesn't mean he doesn't need help. And I'm sure CBS proves
that. No, he doesn't need help, Eric. He doesn't need help. He beat addiction with the power of his brain.
Oh, that's right.
He said that.
Yeah, I know. I read that. He literally said he has fixed all of his own problems. Yes.
Winning.
You know what he is? He's a Scientologist without having written Dianetics.
As I posted on Facebook earlier today. Yeah, you heard that right.
You what? 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 You posted on Facebook?
I actually did. And I don't anticipate posting again until 2026. So enjoy it.
That's good. Are we just going to why don't we just turn the show into an anti-Facebook rant soapbox for you?
No, because
– go on now. What's your bitch about Facebook now?
No, no, no. But let me finish my thought. So as I said on Facebook today, I think Charlie Sheen's next show should be nothing but his crazy-ass rants.
Dude,
it should just be monologues, and it should be called One Man and Half a Brain.
Told you, I think he wants to be the next Glenn Beck, and I think that's entirely likely to be his next show.
Wow. He could be like – he could do like a Shatner type of thing. Sheen's raw nerve.
Totally. Yeah. And you know a channel out there will give it to him.
Yeah, probably. Fox?
Fox?
Fox!
No.
Excuse me.
But a lot of them would. I mean, Spike – TBS, you know, somebody who wants just like a half hour of crazy bullshit going on, they would totally give it to him.
Is there a misogyny anti-Semitic channel?
I'm sure there is. There's got to be. Somebody would start. He could actually. He's got enough money. He could start his own.
That's true.
$3 million an episode, for fuck's sake. 22 episodes a year. That's a lot of green. You can start your own cable network with that.
Yeah, that's just.
I think Al Gore started a network with a hell of a lot less than that.
Yeah, and I actually still get it, surprisingly.
Really? So yeah. When does Olbermann start?
I don't know. Yeah. I never watch it. I just get it. It's crazy. Like buried in the low hundreds.
Okay.
But no, as far as ranting about Facebook, I don't want to rant about Facebook because that's spending time on Facebook for a matter of speaking.
In a matter, yes. And it just goes to show how important Facebook is in the world, even in your world.
Yes. And to that end, I would like to point out that I know you do not typically watch commercials on the telly.
I do not.
But I do. And I don't watch too many of them. I forward most of them. But one of the things I've noticed lately is with I don't know. I shouldn't put a percentage on it. But let's just say lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of commercials. Whereas in the past, they would have an URL to, you know, AcmeRocketSleds.com. Now, it's almost always Facebook.com/AcmeRocketSleds, or it's AcmeRocketSleds.com/Facebook. Could I have like picked an example with like more?
I thought maybe you had just seen a Roadrunner cartoon.
I did. And that's what, I should have just said Acme.
So, and I understand. I think we've had this conversation where you've called it like the AOLification of the web because of Facebook. And
it's AOL all over again. It's a walled garden. It's like AOL lost out to the internet, and now the internet is losing out to Facebook. Everything is going to be either on Facebook or so much within Facebook's sphere of influence that there's not going to be
– it's that way because Facebook has that sphere of influence. When you have 600 – there, that's the official number now, 600 million users, which is bullshit because you got to figure
– yeah. That includes a lot of people like me that signed up and use it sparingly, if at all.
There's that, and there's like – that probably also includes those fan pages, which are for, you know, for businesses or movies or whatever. So, I mean, a lot of that is fishy numbers, you know, fuzzy math, as they used to say. But it's still, you know, even if it's 100 million people on there actively using it, 1/6 of their numbers, that's still huge. And you're right, the like button, I finished doing my taxes this weekend, and when I got to the last page where it says, save your taxes, print out your taxes, like your TurboTax. And there's a button there to click like. And I'm like, I really, you know, I like TurboTax, I guess, but not enough to ever click anything that I like about the tax code in general. So
that's the insidious part of it. So you click like, and then everybody that's you on your friends list says, oh, Eric likes TurboTax. I'll choose TurboTax instead of H&R Block or Tax Cut or whatever. But that's the insidious part of it.
It's insidious, but how is it any different than me saying to you, hey, I did my taxes with TurboTax? It's word of mouth, except this is word by Facebook. You're telling people that you – why do I always end up defending Facebook? Cocksucker.
And now I suppose you're going to bitch because they didn't win an Oscar.
They did. They won the one that they most deserved, best screenplay adaptation, which was
– oh, they did? Oh, okay. Yeah. So Sorkin basically won it.
Sorkin won it. And that's really – that was –
yeah, I don't know. Why do you always – I guess it's just natural that you would take the pro Facebook.
I've had this conversation with many people lately that I always play devil's advocate, and it annoys a lot of people. And I think I do it mostly because you and I have been doing it for 18 fucking years. So whatever you hate, I feel like I got to point out you're wrong. I don't know why it is. Joe, do you hate Nazis? Well, let me tell you. They kept trains running.
I love puppies, Eric. Counterpoint.
Hitler liked dogs, Joe. What do you know? See? So, yeah. It's a personality failing of mine.
That is funny. No, see, that's good. The ability to take the contrarian view, although I would say mine is the contrarian view. Yours is the mainstream view.
I know, but I don't want to be mainstream. I want to be indie. I want to be, you know.
Hipster.
Hipster, unique. Do I have to, like, wear a funny pork pie hat? I mean, what do I need to do to be the cool hip one here? Pork.
I don't think there's enough time for either of us to do what's required to be anything resembling hip.
That's true. Good point. We're
maybe broken hip in about 40 years, but
40? More like four.
That's about it.
So I think I could slip down my stairs tomorrow and take care of that.
I've fallen and I can't get up. Also, where's the beef?
Also, where's the like button? I want to click like on my broken hip. Can you imagine, like, going into the hospital with a broken hip and they, like, put you through – you know how they, like, put you through admission and they make you fill out a bunch of questions? You're sitting there writhing in pain and it's horrible. And they would hand you, like – imagine handing you a pad and say, by the way, while you're here, could you click the like button here for the hospital ER? Tell everybody what a great job we're doing. Could you do that?
Yeah, that's the equivalent of filling out that comment card at the diner.
It is. You know? But see, that's the thing. I mean, that's why I think the like button, it's kind of getting it's weird because it'd be nice to unlike things, you know,
right,
which you can't.
But that doesn't sell. That doesn't move products, so you'll never have that.
Exactly.
But you know what? To your example from earlier about how is this different from word of mouth, mm-hmm. I'll tell you how it's different. If you were to tell me that you use TurboTax and that you liked it, and I use that in the classical sense.
Yes.
Then presumably that would come in the context of a discussion where you would tell me why you liked it. And then I could evaluate whether the reasons that you liked it make sense for me. When you just click, like Pavlovian click a like button, then it's like, oh, I like this. Why do you like it? Because your mouse slipped? Because you you know, because there could be any number of reasons that that doesn't qualify as an endorsement, at
Joe,
least not to me.
I think you are forgetting the number of times that I visited you and walked in your house and not even said hello and just immediately said, Joe, I like Tide brand detergent. Please buy only Tide. Now we can have a discussion. I'm sure that our friendship is exactly like that. Don't tell me otherwise.
You know, I take my laundry seriously. That's why I choose Tide.
You're right. It is kind of like word of mouth by way of showing up and screaming, I think you should go use TurboTax. Okay, now we can talk.
There was a great Onion clip from the other day about the internet when Al-Qaeda attacked the internet.
With a picture of a puppy.
Right. No. With a picture of a pig wearing galoshes. And the best part, I thought, which was not even like – didn't factor heavily into it, but was that now the internet's down, people have to offer their inane opinions on the street. And these people were just walking around saying shit like – the stuff that if somebody walked up to you and said it, you'd be like, get away from me, you crazy Charlie Sheen, crazy bastard.
Yeah.
But if it comes through Facebook, it's like, oh.
And you're right.
Seems reasonable.
Imagine maybe 20 years from now if Facebook does take over the web, that's how – kids will interact. It'll be like not just text messages. They'll just walk into rooms and randomly shout out the names of products that they like. You know, yes. I don't know. I mean, by then, hell, it'll all be, you know, you'll like something. And as soon as you walk by a window, it'll be like Minority Report where you're going to see the ad for it and you'll see the reflection of the person and it'll suddenly all their clothes will change and it'll be you'll have covered in logos like NASCAR. Like, that's what we're heading for. Just smart clothes that will advertise for you.
As long as they don't download that stuff directly into my cerebral cortex.
Well, you know what? If they give me free clothes just because it's got advertising on it, then I'll wear it because I'm cheap.
Yeah, but you could do that now. You could buy –
Can't get it cheap. I got to pay – you know, now we pay big bucks to carry people's stupid logos. I want them to pay me. That's the goal. That's the ultimate – is I just walk around for free. In fact, I would paint a logo on the side of my house right now if it meant I could get things like my mortgage paid off. I'm as big a whore as any sports stadium.
I got news for you, dude. Right now, you could go and sign up with a company. I assume they're still doing this. I heard about this a year ago where you could get your car wrapped.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know what the payment is, but it's probably – damn well better be substantial.
Yeah.
If you wrap your car in that obnoxious nonsense like the stuff that's on the side of buses.
If my car wasn't already paid for, I would do that.
Well, that's even better. Then do it and
free money.
Get the cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to look them up.
Oh, money. More money.
Thanks again for tuning in to another awesome episode of Faction Meeting.
Devil's Advocate.
Of wait, are you going to devil's advocate the fact that people tuned in? What I don't know what you're saying.
No, I was suggesting that our show should be called The Devil's Advocate, but that was already a major motion picture.
Yes, it was. Was that?
Can you just like edit out all my slurred speech because it appears that I'm drunk even though I'm not.
No, that's all staying in. I will fix my fuck ups, but you're gonna look like a dumbass. What was Devil's Advocate? Was that Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, and that other guy, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
1997.
Hoo-ha! I'm the devil.
Yeah. that was excellent.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I can also dance blind.
a very obscure reference to Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, those were both Scent of a Woman. That's right.
By the way, just quick, Al Pacino quick movie aside.
Yes.
Quick aside, do you watch Burn Notice?
I do, all the time.
When was the last time you watched Scent of a Woman?
Oh, long, long time ago. I know what you're talking about, dude, because you know why? I recently, within the last month, 6 months, saw a movie that Gabrielle Anwar made before Scent of a Woman, when she was like maybe a 17-year-old, like some movie where she like played a girl who raised a horse and the horse jumped off of a platform into a tank and she rode the horse, blah, blah, blah. And just like the most adorably gorgeous, you know, female, you could tell she was going to be as hot as she was in Scent of a Woman. You did not know she was going to be the emaciated corpse with the collagen lips that she has become. I know exactly where you were going.
Okay, thank you.
It's
because I'm not saying she looks in any way bad necessarily. I mean, she does kind of look like Skeletor.
Yes,
but,
she eats a sandwich.
She doesn't even look like the same person.
I know.
I mean, you'd really have to study that and say, oh, okay, I get it. That's like the same person 18 years later because she's changed. Her appearance has changed enough that
I don't even think she looks like she did in the first season of Burn Notice.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. Between.
I mean, she just pulled the skin tight. Like, there's a twist of skin under her hair at the back of her head that's pulled everything super tight, and yet she does the collagen injection in the lower lip so that it juts out like a duck bill. And, oh, dude, it's just really
– just like F. Murray Abraham got in Insurrection.
Star Trek reference.
Obscure sci-fi reference, anyone?
Boom. So, yeah, I feel your Anwar pain.
Okay. Well, it's not really pain. It's just mild discomfort. You know, because some people don't age well. I can think of some examples, but I won't. Okay,
But I will tell you that almost every – oh, yeah, I know. Jan Hooks, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What was she on recently playing somebody?
Dirty Rock.
Dirty Rock. Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
I mean, at least she knows to play it for laughs, but wow.
I did a spit take when I first saw her, and I wasn't even drinking anything.
Okay, but – I forgot what I was going to say. So you forced my thought out of my brain. You said Jan Hooks and everything else fled in fear. That thought alone in my head scared all the other thoughts away.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, hey, this has been Facts Are Meaningless, and apparently we don't even need facts. We just need opinions on the appearance of young ladies and older ladies in the movies because we're that shallow.
And Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, that guy's a fuck up. And he aged badly. I saw a picture of him today. Not looking good.
Yeah, definitely.
So here's to Major League 3. Good luck with that, Charlie. You fuck nut. I think we should write a jingle. You've been listening to Facts Are Meaningless. No, that was terrible. Wait, try again. You've been listening to Facts Are Meaningless. Rock and roll. No.
Chill. Spine. Internal bleeding.